for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Sunday evening service on July the 3rd, 1988, tape number 4. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jerry Garner is the teacher of the evening.
Well, it's time to hear the word, time to hide it in our hearts, and learn to live by it, and apply it and make it part of our life. So Brother Jerry's going to come and minister whatever the Lord's given him tonight.
Turn on. I'm turning on. Destiny's live. It's not memory. Anybody want to go to bed early? Pick one. I got 3 sermons. And I have no idea which one we're going to land on. It doesn't really matter to me. Wherever God wants to take us. But I know he's going to do a couple of things first. Anybody else in here ever dropped out of Weight Watchers? Come on, confess. Anybody ever been and didn't make it? Okay. There's 2, 3, 4 honest, 5 honest. Hallelujah. Honesty's bursting everywhere. You know the little thing on your eyes on the refrigerator says, today I had a cantaloupe and I had a boiled egg. And then in the middle of the afternoon you have to start filling in those little squares, something extra, something else. Well, I had a whole lot of something else's on the bottom of my chart. My wife come in, she wouldn't say, what'd you have? She said, how many something else's? I said, something extra. Well, anyway, we had a little something extra tonight. And the Lord was working on me this afternoon while I was praying, asking. You know, the Holy Spirit's already set the mood for this whole convention. He's already set the tone of what's going to happen. And I'm so excited. He's doing it. He's cleansing his church. He's purging. He's going to cause the mountains to come down, the valleys to raise up, and cause us to stand upright before him. And we're not going to do it. He's going to do it. And the one thing he's going to take care of tonight, I know, because in my spirit he's already said he's going to do it. Those of us that are fixing to stand up and receive, there's going to be an anointing tonight to break. If you're willing to admit it before the Lord, he's going to break a bondage of disbelief and unbelief in the Word. And it's going to break a yoke of bondage off some folks that have been unable to forgive themselves and let God forgive them. You see, God will forgive us, but we won't forgive ourselves a lot of times. So he's going to break off unbelief and disbelief. And if you've been bothered by that, then stand up. I'm going to pray for you right now before we start. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit just to do something special for us tonight. We've all been trapped in that. Satan's come and lied to us and said, you're not really saved. One day they came by the house to see me, a couple of prayer warriors, and said, we decided we better pray for you. Instead of praying at home, we decided we better come over. They said, what is going on? I said, well, I've been agreeing with Satan all day. Everything he said about me, yeah, you're right. And I just walked around the house, yeah, I did that. Yeah, you're right. Well, we're going to stand up right now. We're going to admit we've had unbelief and disbelief in our hearts before. And we're going to ask the Holy Spirit just to get rid of that and trust him to do so. We're going to release the spirit of grace and supplication into this room, the spirit of adoption. And I ask the Holy Spirit to come in. You know, it's the Christ in us that Paul prayed about so much. He said, I labor with you till Christ be formed in you. And it's not instant pudding. We've talked about that before. Salvation is not in a little carnation can that you stir up and add water. It's a walk. Everybody's going to stand up sooner or later. I love it. Okay? Whatever it is that's been bugging you, that's keeping you from really going all the way with God and really being able to believe, really believe, you know, really, really believe, not just say I believe, not name it and claim it, blab it and grab it and confess and possess and all that, but I mean really in here, that really saying it, say, God, I really believe, and I really believe you will forgive me and I'll forgive myself, and I want unbelief cast out in Jesus' name, okay? I just want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Disbelief has to go. And the inability to trust the Father. You see, a lot of us have trouble with our earthly Father that hampers our Heavenly Father's relationship with us. God can do it. And he will do it. All you got to do is present yourself like a little sheep for evening inspection. and be willing. If you know his voice, be willing. Say, you're right. It's like when old Jacob came across Jabok. The angel pressed him and said, what's your name? And he said, liar, supplanter, cheater. Yeah. So when God calls your name, answer him. Yep. Because he's fixing to do something for you. Okay. Be saved. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. Come here. Bring that word that you had. Put your finger on it. I want you to read something. I want y'all to show you what the Holy Ghost is doing and get it. You might as well get excited. It's going to happen. Now, you can be a spectator. My grandmother used to talk about taters a lot. You can be a spectator or you can be a participator and get involved with what's going on. And Blanche is going to read your word from the word. If she can find it, she can find it. I love it when the Lord gives you a word from the word, because you know it's not going to return void. Something's going to happen. And when I walked in that, she read that script. Come on up here. We can share. Talk loud.
When King Hezekiah heard it, they were having problems with the people fussing and telling them they weren't any good and all of that. And Hezekiah was the king. And he rent his clothes and he covered himself with sackcloth. And he went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, who was over his household, and Shebna the scribe, and the other older priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, Hezekiah says that this is a day of extreme danger and distress, of rebuke and chastisement, and blasphemous and insolent insult. For children have come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring them forth. We're talking about the mixture in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Has come in, and how we have, as it were, not had the strength to birth the word within us to bring it forth.
Like I said, the Holy Spirit set the tone, the pace, whatever you want to call it, the word. He let us know what was going on when we got here. I mean, we and we prepared ourselves in advance, and we came up knowing that God was going to do something, and it didn't matter what. I don't really care what God does, as long as he lets me know when I get to be there. You know, it doesn't matter, because I know my Heavenly Father is good, and he doeth good.
Yes.
And he didn't create us to throw us away. So, there's hope, okay? I got to clarify, last night someone said, what are you talking about when you said we're the hope of glory? Anybody not understand that? I'm going to read to you one more time, quickly, before I go to something else. But in Colossians, the first chapter, in verse 27, to them God willed, meaning put in writing, he predetermined, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't want anybody to leave this campground until they know that in them, the Christ Jesus that is in them, that everybody is struggling to bring forth, trying to get past the Adamic nature, the old flesh man, and all the wild beasts of the field are trying to keep you from bringing forth what's that seed in you, the hope of glory. That is the hope of glory.
Yes.
Everyone should understand the hope of glory is Christ in you. You made perfect, okay? Don't anybody go home without knowing that. Okay. We're going to talk about mix a little bit tonight, because it's just been the tone over and over and over. How to protect yourself from a mix in what God has already given you. Now, we know that when Gideon's army came down the hill, I've taught this before, so I'm not going to go through it again. But do you remember what happened when they got down to the drinking water? There were no instructions at the top of the hill how to drink. The word was said, go drink. Now, see, God has already told his church, I'm pouring out my spirit on you, and he's sitting back and watching what we do with it. Now, we know that the majority of the folks got down in the water and drank on their hands, you know, on their knees and hands and knees, and just really splashed around, had a good time, got all wet. 300 dipped down on one knee with their sword ready, or whatever they had in their hand, their shield, and dipped up a drink of water, put it on the inside. And it was set over here, right? Now, that is a literal picture of what spiritually is taking place right now. God is watching his people, the ones he has anointed, the ones he has called, He has chosen, and he's waiting to see how you handle what he has poured on you. The decision lies with you. You have no one to blame about the outcome. The Spirit is poured out on all flesh, right? Equally. Now, what you do with it determines where, how, all the questions that you have about what's to come is being answered now. This is the preparation time for the bride. Anyway, if you remember the 300 that got up out of the water properly, the Holy Spirit ministered to me at that time when we studied that, that those who knelt down and got a drink of it, see, that water was a picture of the Holy Spirit, okay? That's called holy water. I don't want to offend any Catholics, but that was the holy water, okay? And that water, the Holy Spirit, is meant to what? Nourish the spirit man on the inside, not cleanse the flesh on the outside, okay? And when they got down that water, they splashed around having a good time. They love to go to church and get flame in the spirit and shout and jump up and down and just really, you know, you've got to feel it on the outside. You know, if you can shake a little bit and jerk your head and fall down, you really got something. No, you didn't really got something, okay? You really got something when something begins to grow inside of you and your marriage starts to fall apart and you speak the word and rebuke it, or your kid gets on drugs and you speak the word and rebuke it. When things begin to come against you in your life and the Holy Spirit is in you to such a degree as you have authority, knowing that you already have authority, in the name of Jesus Christ, to rebuke it, it's done. Okay? That's what I'm talking about, the circumcision, the inward man. Refresh the inward man. We're going to find a place. Read your scripture in Isaiah 7, verse 15. Now, Jesus Christ is our pattern. If he's a type for us, if he's our big brother, whatever you want to call him, if he came so that we would know how to do what God wants us to do, then Isaiah 7, verse 15, is talking to you personally. Okay? My translation calls it curds and honey. Now, yours may say butter, may say cream, whatever. Curds and honey. Listen to this. This is a prophetic message by Isaiah referring to the Christ child, Emmanuel, and about his diet. Okay? Curds and honey he shall eat. Why? That he may know to refuse the evil and choose good. Now, does that wake you up like it woke me up? Wow, discernment. Christ needed a steady diet of curds and honey that he shall eat, that he might know to refuse evil and choose good. Now, if he needed it, how much more do you and I need it? Okay? We're fixing to discover what curds and honey is. Now, we know literally that was then. Okay, spiritually, what is curds and honey right now? Anybody have an idea? I'm going to save it. Okay. We'll tell you next week. No. We're going to go right over here to Isaiah 28. I used to hate preachers that gave a lot of scriptures. It was like a Bible drill. But I'm sorry. We're going to have a Bible drill tonight. I'll try to talk slow. My wife always sits out there. I really miss that short tie. By the way, if anybody sees that lady, I did wear the green striped tie diversity last week. She said, I know you won't buy this, but I'm going to get it anyway. So I'm wearing it. Y'all tell her she had on the green tie. Okay, she's a little short redhead. Okay, Isaiah 28, verse 7. Here's where we are, folks. I like when God's word speaks to where we are, okay? This is where we are. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that no place is clean. Whom will he teach? Isaiah 28, verse 7. Did I say that loud enough? Whom will he teach? And whom will he to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, or those drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Okay? What's he talking about in that age? What's happened? They've gotten drunk on what? Wine. They've gotten drunk on the Spirit. What have they gotten drunk on? It seems that they have gone in excess. They have gotten over here. It seems that they have messed up their balanced diet of curds and honey. Anybody know what honey is? Honey is the revealed word of God, right? Revelation knowledge. You remember when Jonathan was fleeing from Saul in the wilderness? Not in the wilderness, I'm sorry. Back up. If you remember the story, Jonathan and Saul, and they went to fight the Philistines, and the daddy fell asleep under the tree, and Jonathan went over and fought the Philistines and slew some of them. And while he was gone, Saul made his proclamation, let no man rest or eat until my enemies are put under this day. Okay? Now, Jonathan was out of the camp, he and his armor bearer. He did not hear that proclamation. So when he came back, got in the heat of battle, and they were running through the woods, honey was everywhere. Wow. Revelation knowledge is flowing everywhere. He did not know that his father had said, don't anyone eat till my enemies are put under. As soon as he stuck his sword down in that honeycomb and pulled it out, I'll give you all the scripture references later, but I'll save time. I'll write them all down for you. He stuck his sword down there and ate of that honey, and after he had received the honey, received revelation knowledge, he knew his father had sinned against God. God revealed it because he said, my father has sinned against God and the people. And at that point, he had revelation knowledge of what was going on, and he chose to stay with his father. Now, revelation knowledge is the honey. So a Christian, in order to survive today and have the spirit of discernment about him, must have a balanced diet of revelation knowledge. Now, where's the milk? Where's the butter? What's the milk? Anybody want to tell me? What is the milk of the Word? What is the milk? Paul talked about it over and over and over, the milk. Okay, now what is butter? Paul said, I pray you still need milk. I wish I'd give you some solid food, but you still got to have the milk of the Word. You know, a baby, an infant needs milk to aid its digestive tract. Open up all of that. All you mommies know that. That's necessary. Okay, a Christian needs that to establish the way and so forth. You know, if you don't learn anything else, is that Jesus saves. Okay, that's milk. But when you come into understanding and that Word works in you, you begin to know that Jesus saves you from a whole lot of things. And he keeps you from things. He prepares the way. That's the butter. When the butter starts to work in your life. All right? So a Christian today must have a balanced diet just like Jesus Christ did of butter and honey. We know that milk from the Word agitated. Anybody make butter for the grandmother like this? Okay, that's the milk work, isn't it? It's the Word of God work in your life. You know, not just read and not just memorize. I mean work, you know. Like somebody said, I don't like what you believe. Well, I don't really care what you like what I believe. And the Word's just agitating, bouncing around and working up and down. And you take a scripture and you think, boy, I got it now. You go down the road and somebody says, well, let me tell you what God told me. Now, one of two things can happen. You can put on that, I know everything already. I've got my doctrine and I've got it in here. And here is a copy. Don't bother me. Don't tell me anything new and don't tell me anything bad's going to happen. I don't want to hear it. I want to sit on my pew. Leave me alone. Now, you can choose to do that or you can say, okay, what did God tell you? You know, God works on us in mysterious ways. He might tell somebody else something he didn't tell us. And we got to go, well, what did he tell you? You know what? When he says what God told him, something's going to happen. The truth's already in us, isn't it? It's going to confirm, isn't it? It's not going to seem like a strange doctrine. The Word's already in here. The truth's in here. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, if you have discernment, if you have a balanced diet of honey and butter to work with. If you don't, you're going to get sick. You cannot sit and eat nothing but honey all day long, can you? I have a whole lot of those friends that love honey. They need a revelation from God to get out of bed. You know, they're so spiritual. You know, don't touch me. Don't anybody touch me. You might break something that's going on right now. And, well, I can't do that. You see, I've got to lay before the Lord all day and pray. I'm not making fun of that, but I'm saying, come on, folks, let's wake up, okay? God doesn't give us a steady diet of honey. If you want a steady diet of honey, you're going to throw up on the table sooner or later and defile the whole thing. Now, we've got this little group working over here. See, I came out of a church, and I went to another A church. And over here, we had all revelation knowledge just flowing. I mean, it was good stuff. And it was good. And it was right. But I came out of a church that was just the butter capital of the world. I mean, we had butter. I mean, you could not get away from the butter. It was stacked everywhere. They had it so categorized and so doctrinized and so pretty and wrapped up. If God had come in and told them something, it wouldn't fit. You see, the packet, you cannot change butter after it's been molded, right? My grandmother used to, you know, pound that in there and she'd make me. And, you know, you can't ever change the shape of that butter until you start cutting it off. But something happens, doesn't it? Well, anyway, you come up to a Christian who eats nothing but butter, and what happens? I have pastor friends that have literally memorized this Word. They have got so much butter stored up for the hope of what they think is coming. Man, they are ready. I mean, if God brings the bread, they're in business, okay? They have got butter to go with what God's bringing, right? And I'm not really making fun of anybody. I'm just trying to maybe laugh us into understanding what God's talking about. You know, we take ourselves so serious. Can anybody else imagine God laughing and having a good time? He's got to. Anybody that can make a giraffe, you know, has got to be able to laugh. Anybody. But anyway, God's sitting there going, you know, I wish they'd get this right. And we're over here yelling, boy, we got it now. Hallelujah. We can just get those Baptists speaking tongues. We got it. You know, you walk over here. If they would just baptize all the way under, well, they sprinkle that. We're all running around like this, and God's going, boy, did I made a mess of that, didn't I? So anyway, that's why he's pouring out his Holy Spirit. And that's why he demands that the sons of God will be led by his Spirit. Okay, that's the only way it's going to happen. And I see enough diverse people in here saying, boy, we could get into a real mess if we wanted to. But you know what happened? We came to this place, each one seeking what they needed, with a hunger and a thirst. I don't know about y'all, but I played church too long. And I don't want to ever go near a dead body again.
Amen.
I don't care who's getting baptized or married.
Amen.
I don't want to go near no dead body. Believe me, I was there long enough. I was a part of that. And it grieves the Holy Spirit. And he says, don't do that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Okay? Don't try to limit him in your life. But anyway, we got this group over here waiting on the pew with a little ticket. Did anybody ever get that story when he was in church, you know? I've got my ticket for glory, and ain't nobody getting out of my hand. I'm going to sit on this pew. I want to be here. When God gets here and the bus pulls up out front, I'm ready to go. Now, 5 years ago, I was one of those, okay? And I'll never forget the very first conversation I had with Brother Glenn on the phone. He was testing the waters. He won't know what I was all about. Well, I didn't know what I was all about. How was I going to tell him what I was all about? I didn't know. You know, I was like, never mind, I won't tell you what I was like back then. It was a little bit worse. But anyway, one of the first things he said to me is, well, we want to know what you think about the rapture. And he wants to know what I think about the rapture. Oh, God, what am I going to tell him? Because they got to just tell me there wasn't one. You know, and I'm supposed to tell this man on the phone, he'll, well, there's somebody's going to go first, and then there's some not going in the middle, and there's some not going in the end. I don't really know. I don't care either, you know it? I got more of, hey, I don't care. Satan can't scare me more because I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know who's in charge? I mean, when he comes to your door, you know, I'm going to blow your house down. I'll never forget when I was driving from my office in downtown Houston, the medical center, out to Pasadena. My wife had called. Our 13-year-old son was in the hospital. He had spinal meningitis. Went into a coma. And at that time, we were members of a, quote, spirit-filled, charismatic, tongue-wagging church. And they told us, well, we'll go pray while you're on route. So I said, okay. And just by, not by chance, P.S., by per spirit, I had been over in my daily Bible study in Leviticus somewhere in 14, reading about how the priest would anoint people to cleanse them of things. You know, on the pour the oil in seven times and on the ear and the thumb, the big toe, on the forehead. I'm going to do that. And back then, I'm anything. God, you say it, I'll do it. Let's go. I mean, I'm ready for anything. Anyway, my wife calls and says, Jason's in a coma. You better come over. And y'all, I really, to this day, I do not know what came over me that day. I was actually smiling. I hung up and said, okay, right there, click. And God put something in me, and I got in the car, and I turned on the radio on our Christian radio station. And, you know, they play the scriptures with the music in the background, a dramatic scene from the Bible. Guess what? Jesus is healing that little girl, you know, the one that was dead or whatever. So I'm driving down the road, and Jesus is healing that little girl, and I'm going, I can't wait to get out to Pasadena Bay Shore Hospital. I got my oil. I got my Bible. I'm ready to go. Well, I just burst in there. Absolutely, completely, without a doubt. You know, it's like he said this morning, I wanted him healed more than I wanted my next breath. That's really how I felt. I mean, my life was, I could care less, but I wanted him healed more than anything. Because I told Satan on the way, he said, I'm going to kill your son. I said, no, you're not. He belongs to God, and God wants him, he can have him. And I really meant that. I told God, you want him, he's yours. I've had him for 13 years. I love the kid, but he's yours. And you can take him if you want him. And I really meant it from in here. I really did. So when I got to the hospital, there was not a stone laying across that tomb like when Lazarus. You know, Jesus spoke to that rock and it rolled out of the way. There was not a rock between me and my Savior that day. And I knew in my heart what was going to happen. I knew before I got there. Well, anyway, I bebopped in there. And I'm really feeling good. I must have really been kind of weird that day because let's get this going. Got to get back to the office. Going to do this. Going to do that. And I walk out the elevator, and all down the hall, lined up, people in black. 13 or 14 of them from my, quote, my church. Uh-oh. They're already in mourning. You know, he slipped into a coma about an hour before that. and they had lost two children in Houston, spinal meningitis, just weeks before that. So, you know, it's kind of like when Peter went to pray for Dorcas. He had to face the wall, didn't he? Some of y'all have got to look above and beyond the circumstances when you pray. Don't stand in the circumstances and pray. Ask God to raise you above and then pray. Say, God, I don't care what it looks like. It don't really matter, God. I know who you are. I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ. I know what's available. Now I'm going to ask your will, Father. What's going to happen here? Anyway, I came this way around the hall, and there at the end was my pastor. I'm going, because he had that, okay, boy, look on his face. You know, okay, because he saw that look in my eye. You know, I was coming out of shooting him before. I was ready to go. I was ready to pray right then for my son. I had my all, and I had this big Bible. I used to take this big Bible everywhere I went. I wasn't trying to impress anybody because I was hard to see and had big print in it. Well, anyway, everybody always said, you got your big old Bible, you Jesus freak. I said, no, I'm just hard to see and hard to see, and I'm blind. I can't see without big print. Well, anyway, my pastor says, well, we've already prayed. We spoke in tongues. I hope it didn't offend the nurses. I said, don't bother me. He said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'll go over here in Leviticus. And he said, now, wait a minute. He said, there's no New Testament foundation for that. I said, oh, it don't matter. I said, that's my son, and this is my God, his book, and he did it. I'm going to do it, okay? Now, at that point, I really didn't care if I offended him because I was out of it. It didn't. Maybe I did offend him. I don't know. They asked us to leave right after that. But anyway, they had already prayed through all of that, and I'm so glad all the denomination doors are down. And at our fellowship in Deer Park, I said, if one of you people ever walk in here and try to stick a steeple on top, or a sign out front, or a label on me, there's the back door. Because that's not what God is doing in this hour, okay? When we get together, it's a gathering of the body. Now, we may meet at 3 o'clock on Sunday, which we do, or we may meet at 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon, which we have done before. It doesn't matter. It's a gathering of the body. And to us, every day is a Sabbath, so we got it all covered. I don't care if it's on Saturday or Sunday or Monday. We got the Sabbath covered at our fellowship. It don't matter, okay? Because every day is a Sabbath to us. Okay, we are definitely Sabbath keepers. I keep saying that like it's really important. And okay, but anyway, I walk into the room, and there's my wife. Now, she is the picture of faith at that point. You know, she's holding my son's hand, and she's giving one of those looks like, okay, what are you doing? Because, you know, I got to tell you, I had just come out of my own deathbed about 2 months prior to that. I had hepatitis, and the doctor told her on Friday I wouldn't live till Monday. And God said, I'm going to heal you on Monday, and lo and behold, I got out of the hospital on Monday, and the doctor says, I don't know, going home, you know. I said, okay, I'm going home. But anyway, so she had just come out of that with me 2 months prior and saw me get up out of the bed. So I guess she was ready for anything by then. She was holding my son's hand. Her prayer partner was beside her. My prayer partner was here, and the door was wide open, and all these faces going, what's he going to do, you know? And I just closed the door. That's what Jesus did. He closed the door, and he sent everybody outside the hall. Said, y'all wait. Till we get this done. So I walked my prayer part, looked at the clock, and I said, okay, we got about time for this and then lunch. And I read Leviticus. I explained to my wife, it's very important. Before you start, don't be so quick to pray. And don't be too quick to lay hands on somebody. Make sure everybody there knows exactly what's going on. 2 weeks ago, we had a baptism in a swimming pool in the backyard down the street from us, and we baptized into Christ 4 Catholics and 2 ex-Baptists, and each one of the baptisms was unique, and nobody rushed us. Laid hands on them in the pool. I had them pray. I had one of the elders to pray. I prayed. We waited for the Holy Spirit, and when the water got trouble, we dumped, okay? And that was the most beautiful experience I have had thus far in this ministry, was when they went down in that water, a lifetime of regrets and shame and anguish and fear just kind of melted in that water and came out. It was unbelievable. This lady who had been a prayer warrior, a friend of mine, for years had also been a Catholic and been sprinkled and never thought about baptism until I preached about being in Christ, baptized in Christ one day, and she said, I want that. I got to have that. When can we do it? This afternoon? I said, no, we ain't got a baptistry. She said, well, set up. Let's go. She said, I don't want to go to the salt water at Galveston. I want it in clear water. She said, I would like to be outside. And I said, me too. I wouldn't want anybody to get the mistaken idea that we're going to baptize into a building. Please, let's get baptized outside where there's no hope of anybody misconstruing what's going on. There ain't nobody ever, Lord, please, that I baptize, I ain't ever going to baptize anybody into a church. Never, ever, ever. If you're not being baptized into Christ, I ain't dunking, okay? I'm not going to do that. Because that's not what God said, okay? Can you imagine that Ethiopian eunuch on that chariot, you know, and there's some water. That's the way I feel about baptism. It's got to come in here, and when it's time, you're going to know it. And don't let anybody say, well, now you've been saved, let's go over here and sign this card, and we'll give you one of our little pamphlets, what we believe and why. And then next, let's see, we're going to set you up for, oh, come on, y'all. Let's stop playing church, okay? Because you know what happens? It's a mix in the seed, isn't it? It's a contaminant. Remember the vessel beside the cross was sour wine. It wasn't good wine, it was sour wine. My translation says sour wine. Contaminated. With what? The world. A lot of us have, over a process of time, gotten contaminated because there's a crack in our wall or a puncture wound somewhere that we got wounded and the enemy has snuck in and spoiled what God gave us. If y'all haven't got the real God-given love and joy bubbling out of you, then do some serious, okay, God, here I am, let's go to work, okay? That's what this camp is all about. And ask God to explain butter and honey to you. And ask God to pour out on top. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. God did heal my son, by the way. We prayed for him. I read Leviticus. I got that oil. I was calling prayer for him. I said, you pour that in this hand. You do this and this and this. And we're going to pray. And we joined hands. We prayed. Looked at the clock. I went to lunch. Now, I know that would look bad. I mean, the overweight daddy going down the hall. I'm going to lunch, y'all. See y'all later. So all the mourners out in the hall. But that's what happened. I can't explain it. It just happened. God says, go. And I realize now, looking back, that was a step of faith. And that was God doing that to me. I didn't do that. I wasn't hungry. But God said, get out of here. You know, don't stand here and look at that shriveled up son of yours in the bed in a coma. You know, his little back looked like a 2x4 from his skull down. His back swelled up, stood up that tall. And just, he could not move. We had to go like this. But anyway, I look back now and, wow. What an anointing from the Holy Spirit to get you through something. You got something coming up against you? Ask for the Holy Spirit to anoint you. Really anoint you. Okay? And He will. But anyway, I told my wife, I said, I'm going to lunch. You're doing what? I said, I'm going to lunch. I said, I'll see you in a minute. So I turned, heaven for us, let's go. We went downstairs. One lady went with us. And everybody, you know, we walked down the hall and everybody goes, he's going to lunch. And his son's in there on a deathbed. He's going to lunch. Oh, you know, I'm sure all the mumbling and grumbling and, oh, my God, let's head for the hills. I was at lunch exactly 22 minutes when they came and got me. He was up, out of bed, in the restroom, back in bed, asking for his lunch. And I can testify to that because I was there, and it was my son, and I saw God do it. I know He did it for a purpose, okay? Let me read you one more scripture over here in Hebrews. Hebrews 5, verses 12, 13, and 14. This is an exhortation. You know, Christ gave a gospel to the local group for a reason, to exhort the body. Okay? This is for us at this hour. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, I should be addressing a room full of teachers, okay, and preachers, prophets, evangelists. Okay? We are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. What does a priest do? He ministers to who? To people. And praises God. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Let's get off the milk. Okay? We got the milk. We know what God said. Now let's work on it. Okay? Take the Word of God, drink it, and then apply it by walking it out day by day, okay? I can go through the whole process of how they make butter over in the East. Now they put it in a bag and they shake it back and forth and they push it to him and he pushes it back. And they make milk. They make butter out of milk. We got to do that. We can't sit and drink milk all day and just look at it. Boy, that sure is good milk. Put some Ovaltine in it and store it. Oh, that's good milk. Wow, hallelujah. Jesus saves. He loves us. Isn't that nice? He wants us to be a royal priesthood. He's so nice. He's such a nice guy. Let's grow up, boys and girls, okay? Let's get beyond that. Not taking away from that, but let's move on and get away from the elementary things And don't keep coming back to camp year after year after year after year for your glass of milk and for your anointing to make you feel good. Come back next time ready to bring a friend. Okay, now this time it's your turn. Okay? And come in and attack Glenn. Okay, Glenn, we're going to pray for you this year. Okay? That's the way you should come to camp. Like I told everybody to come to church. If you don't come to church to praise God, in other words, if you're not able, now if you crawl in the back door gasping for air and I know, well, that one's in trouble, let's go pray before we get started, okay? Because the praisers and worshipers come to the house of God for one reason and one reason only, and that's to praise God and worship Him, not to come get your little cup filled of blessings. You know, I used to give that same testimony, y'all. I know what I speak. I give her, well, I just couldn't make it if I didn't come to church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Because all I just drag, you know, by Friday night, my blessed cup is empty. And I just have to come to church. Anybody else ever said that? Confess that out loud in front of witnesses, God. I just got to come so I feel good. Booey. You're supposed to feel good and then come to the house of the Lord. You start doing that and your life's going to change. Because that seed is in you and it remains in you. And don't you sit there and go to seed like my grandmother used to tell me. You got that seed? I got my salvation. All I'm going to do is wait on the bus. I don't care what happens. I got my seed. You better put that seed in the ground and then allow somebody to come by with a little, you know, a little and dig up the ground. And when the weeds start coming up, say, let's pray for you. You got a problem and I love you. And that's why I'm going to come talk to you. Oh, there's a weed. Let's get that weed out. And then when the vine comes up and it gets a little crooked thing on the end, let's prune that off. That's not going to be productive in your life. Come on, let's grow up. Okay. For everyone who partakes only of milk, listen up, church, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. You've been sweating your righteousness. You just heard your answer. It's because we're unskilled in the word. That's what this campground's all about. We're sharpening skills here. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are what? Full of age. Mature. That is those who by reason of use... By reason of use, not by reason of knowing, there are those in the ministry world who would love to convince you all you got to do is just speak it. Phooey. I could speak, he just turned green, and he didn't. I could teach my parrot to say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Now, come on, y'all. The word says, by reason of use, have their senses what? Exercise. That means built up muscle. Okay? Resistance builds more muscle than bench pressing. Okay, resistance to discern what? Both good and evil. Jesus Christ needed a diet of steady butter and honey, evenly mixed to what? That he might know how to choose evil and not evil and good. And you and I, the same thing applies. You're going to need a balanced diet of this word made real, made solid in you. And I don't mean memorize and quote. And I have people say, well, can you quote scripture something? I said, no, but I can tell you what it means. That's what I'm talking about. Don't set out to memorize the Bible, please. Set out to know the God that wrote the Bible. And when you know him, you'll know all things, and you'll be a partaker of his divine nature, and you won't have to sweat the small stuff. Like I told Wesley, I said, when you can get to the point where it don't matter, you just whoop the devil, because he'll have nothing against you. When you can look him in the face and say, Satan, I don't care. Do you know who my daddy is? Anybody ever tell somebody, my daddy can beat up your daddy? Okay. I want to do you one more scripture in 1 Corinthians. We're going to talk about milk one more time. I really want to talk about David's anointing just a minute, because one of his brothers was passed over for this very reason. And I want to share that with you briefly, and then we're going to bed. Okay. Now look. You have told me at least five times tonight, behave. She has. I thought my wife was sitting beside me. Now, behave. Behave. Now, okay? I love when God gets, never mind, when God gets even for you. this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 3, verse 2. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. God's going to give you what you're able to receive. You want anointing from God? He's going to pour out one that you can receive. If you can't receive it, don't ask for it. Okay? And you're even now, you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?
What does he say? Put away all envy, strife, jealousy. What is the Spirit of God? Peace, love, joy, patience, forbearance, long-suffering. You wonder if you're in Christ and Christ is in you? Then keep a little chart on yourself. Write on the wall. Be brave enough to write it down. If I can write down that I cheated at Weight Watchers, you can write down that you cheated God that day. Okay? Oh, I know. Your spirit's in me and I'm not supposed to get mad. I don't care if that guy did get my lane and my parking place. I've had more ladies race me to little bitty parking places at the mall recently. No, I don't care. Because God reminds me, hey, Chubby, you can walk way out yonder and nobody will bang your old car anymore and you can walk over there and get a little exercise. Okay? Okay? And the next time you have a flat on the highway, I challenge you to get out of the car, walk around that car and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that flat tire. You probably stopped me from getting hit by a truck. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that I've got a jack that works. Thank you, Lord, that I know how to take these little things off. Thank you, God, that I've got the strength in this arm to take this thing off. I found out when you begin to thank God for where you are, things begin to happen.
Hallelujah.
I went berserk in the office one day. I sit down and thank God for the carpet. I thank God for paper clips. I thank God that some guy invented those little things to hold papers together. I thank God for that plant that it didn't die. My wife said it would, and it didn't. I told her it wouldn't die. And I thank God for the window washer to come because he can stretch over that desk and wash that big window, and I don't have to anymore. You know, I couldn't thank God enough. You know, and he gave it to me. Y'all, I ain't bragging on Jerry Garner. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit that did it to me. Because I was just a... Well, anyway, I'm going to tell you what I was. I ain't going to tell y'all that. Okay, let's go over to Revelations chapter 10, verse 9. I'll read you one scripture. Please remind me to tell you about David's anointing before I leave in just a minute. I'm going to talk real fast here. I usually talk too fast to my wife. Says, now, do you remember that John and Ezekiel both experienced the same thing when God gave them a little scroll, a little book said, here, eat this, and it's going to be honey in your mouth and bitter in your stomach? Have you gotten a revelation lately that thank God for giving you a revelation, but the truth of it turned bitter out of concern for yourself and for family members?
Yes.
And by the way, I found a scripture in Job that said, the purity of your hands shall enable you to save even those who are not worthy. Find it. It's in there. It's in Job. I'll find it. I'll mark it for my wife because she prays for my mother, and I pray for her mother, and we kind of balance it out sometimes. Okay, let's go over and I got one more in Proverbs 25:16, and then we're going to be through. I really appreciate y'all being so nice to me and listening tonight. Nobody snored yet. I don't feel like I'm at home. Nobody's falling back out of their chair. Okay, Proverbs 25, excuse me. Verse 16. The Lord says, have you found honey? Eat only as much as you need, lest you be filled with it and vomit.
Yes.
Okay? Be careful, us Spirit-filled Christians, that you don't get more honey than you do butter. Okay? Balanced diet. Balanced diet. Read an hour, study, meditate. Balance. The whole thing is in balance, isn't it? It's got to be in balance. Because if it doesn't, you're going to go one way or the other. If Satan can't make you sit on a pew the rest of your life, he's going to try to push you on out the back door beyond where God is. It'll happen. I guarantee it. Okay, real quick. David's anointing. Now, can you imagine the scene at Jesse's house that morning when Samuel came to town? Now, when a real prophet of God came to town, everybody goes, somebody go talk to him. Why is he coming? You know, they want to check out. Why is he coming? Because it usually meant trouble when a prophet came to town. Samuel came in, and Jesse gathers up seven of his sons, doesn't he? One outside working. Somebody's got to do the work. Somebody's got to keep them sheep from bad while the big man's in the house, okay? Now, you can imagine the turmoil in the house because Samuel says he's going to anoint a new king over Israel in that house that day. So, man, all the brothers are lined up. They're ready. Surely me. Surely that oldest guy said, hey, I'm the tallest. I'm the best looking. I'm the oldest. I'm firstborn. I get the anointing, God. And he's one of those, well, I'm going to tell you what his name means literally. In the Hebrew, Eliab means strength, might, power, strong, idol. He's the haughty Christian. I can do all things. I can do all things. And he forgets to say, in Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. You see, some of us that don't know, that, and I'm one of those in the beginning, didn't know Man, I walked around, I told y'all, laying hands on everything, blowing holy holes here and there, naming and claiming and blabbing and grabbing. I thought, if I can say it, I got it. You know, I don't want just a new car. I want a new, I want one of them little foreign. I want, you know, he said I could get it. Don't ask God for a Chevy, get a Cadillac. I mean, I heard that stuff, and y'all did too. Come on now. But anyway, this oldest brother was passed up. Those three brothers are mentioned by name for a reason in the Word of God. Now, we know they all were passed over. These are types of Christians in the time of the anointing to be a ruler with him will be passed over. They're in the family of God. They're in the household of faith. But for one reason or another, by their own choice, are passed over for the anointing. The first Christian that operates in a haughty spirit gets puffed up. You know, they've had an ego problem in days past, you know, and it just kind of comes natural. What happened? The flesh rose up and wasn't crucified, wasn't identified. I told y'all, study those sevenites. If you will study those sevenites, you will discover your flesh nature by name and characteristic, and God will tell you how to get rid of them. And don't anybody in here try to cast out flesh, right, Glenn? You cannot. I don't care how much Glenn stands on you and Erling runs around you and we pray and we cry and we slobber all the place. There ain't 1 ounce of flesh coming out of anybody by deliverance. That's the hard part. Deliverance is the easy part. Y'all think the deliverance is hard? Uh-uh. You can't see nothing until you get around to the old flesh man. Because guess what? He had first dubs. He ain't going. Okay? You're going to have to pull him off, like Paul said. That old dead man's got to come off daily. Number one son, you might label him the I can do it Christian. Okay? Beyond God. I confess God. He knows it. I might as well say it. I used to be one of those that, God, go help that poor guy. I can handle this. Okay, I'll take care of this, God. I don't really need you, God. I like you, but, you know, and I'm serious. I'm serious, folks. I did that, and I apologize, and I asked God to forgive me. But I was of that nature. God, they really need you. I mean, I don't. I'm going to make it. Okay, God, you help. I'm a crybaby for God now. God, I can't do nothing. I can't get a splinter out. You've got to do it, God, okay? I'll be the baby of the family. I don't care. I used to get spanked for crying. I don't mind anymore. I cried like a baby for 60 miles driving one time. Okay, the second brother was also passed over. And this is where the mix comes in. The church right now today is in the second brother, A-B-I-N-A-D-A-D. And this is all found in 1 Samuel. You don't have to look at it now. Just take my word for it. It's in 1 Samuel, right around in chapter 16, 13, 14, 15, 16, in there, where he's come to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king. And the second brother steps up. Well, big brother didn't get it. I'm going to get it. Okay, God? His name literally means in Hebrew, father of generosity, liberal, offers freely, willingly, compromise. He is so liberal that he is willing to do anything to retain what he wants. They will go along with anybody's sin as long as they stay in the group, put in the tithe, put on the numbers, do the show, sing the song, make the pretense. And y'all, that is destroying the body of Christ in a particular element. That right there. Men who are willing to stand up here, and I stand with anybody else that would ever compromise one word. The last thing I wanted ever to be was head of a church or head of a body or whatever you want to call it. And I said, don't anybody ever call me a preacher, or I don't want to be called none of that. Because soon you start sticking labels on people, you got to start walking like, you know. But anyway, I said, don't call me preacher. Call me Jerry. I finally let them call me pastor because I do operate in the office of pastor. And I understand the thing of elders. Our body of believers is gathered together by elders. Okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. The elders are responsible for the body. I just operate in the gift of pastor right now and sometimes teacher in the group. But anyway, this second brother here that compromised what God had told him is so very typical. And it's us, y'all. It's those of us that are willing to compromise. I don't want to hurt her feelings. Well, you know, you have to put up with her. She's always been like that. Phooey. That's not going to... I'm going to say it ain't going to hack it, y'all, in front of God. He ain't falling for that. Well, old sister so-and-so, she's a sweet old soul. Now, just have to put up with that little, that little quirk in her. You don't have to have anybody's image but Christ in you. And there's none of that allowed in the household of faith, right? None of that allowed among the bride of Christ, those who are dressed, ready, waiting, okay? Compromise. I could have compromised right now and probably been somebody important in my own mind, you know. I had those in our group that said, well, now, I don't think you ought to preach about this. You probably ought to do this. We need to get a nursery and paint this door pink and that one blue. And I think we need to get a bigger parking lot. Let's get one of those little things with the bell. I had all those people come through our group, every one of them. And God got a hold of me, and he set me down and said, that's not what I said. And I said, I know it, but listen to what they're saying. I preached a sermon that night, and guess what happened the next week? Talk about pruning. There was a stub that showed up the next week. I mean a stub. You know the stump that sprouted? That's Firstborn Ministries in Deer Park, Texas. We had a stump show up. But let me tell you something about that stump. That stump will pray more, give more, believe more, and show up more than all the poison ivy in the world. I'll take them. Okay, the second brother was passed over compromising, okay? The third brother, he was passed over. And I feel sorry for this little third brother. His name is S-H-A-M-A-H. His name literally means ruin, amazement, dismay, bewildered, thrown into confusion. Bless their hearts. They're the ones that are afraid of everything and anything. But the type of Christian says, don't tell me, I don't want to hear. Don't tell me, I know what Ezekiel 30 says. I know what it says. I know what Ezekiel saw. And I know the Russians are probably going to blow up. I don't want to, please don't tell me that. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that our government's fixing to fall. I don't care that all the banks are fixing to close up. I don't care that you're going to get a little electronic card in the mail with your little da-da-da-da and they're going to take all your cash away from you. I don't want to know that. Don't tell me. Because you stuck your head in the sand, you think something ain't going to fall on you and bust your tail feathers out? Come on now. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm really not a comedian. I'm just somebody that loves God so much. And what's happening in the church ain't funny. And somebody's going to start saying something and speaking the truth sometime. So ask for the anointing of David, okay, on your life. And remember, what happened the next day when old Samuel left and we got the oil on the youngest son? What happened to the youngest son the very next day? Where was he? Keeping sheep. Down the backyard. He wasn't sitting in front of the TV with his feet propped up. I'm a priest. I'm a king. I'm anointed. Look at me. He was out in the backyard moving that sheep stuff around, you know, working. In the process of time, he killed a lion, a bear, and finally a great big guy. He had his tribulation. He saw the beast with a bare feet and a lion body and the face of a man. He had his tribulation. He overcame that. And then what happens? Lo and behold, the local church calls him and says, come on down, be our music director. Hallelujah, praise God. Come on into the church and let's sing your song. Don't let anybody pervert what God gave you, okay? David moves into the king's house in the big church. He's got all the stuff that goes with it. He's got, you know, we're having a fine time here. All of a sudden, God says, okay, it's time to move. The glory cloud is going to shift again, okay? Y'all ready for this? Saul starts chasing him around. What does he got to do? He hides in the wilderness in seven places. And I'm not going to take you through all those seven places, but I challenge you to read them. Maybe if we get to teach later on, we'll go through all these one by one, because there are seven prominent stops in the wilderness that David hid at. And each one is a step toward God. And you and I will, without fail, go to every single one of those stops ourselves. And if we try to skip one, we're going back to start over in different areas of our life. And they line up with 2 Peter chapter 1, 5, 6, 7. God said, add to your faith, if you have faith, add virtue. If you get virtue, add knowledge. And I know a whole lot of folks that stepped on faith and stepped over virtue and went straight to knowledge. Knowledge without virtue is perverted. Okay? Virtue is a necessary step. And the problem with most of us, we don't think that we can once again be a virgin. You will be, spiritually speaking. There are some more steps, and maybe we'll talk about this later, David's wilderness journey, because it'll encourage you and give you a roadmap, because we're not all in the same cave at the same time. So So you got your own cave. Don't worry. I mean, there's one with your name on it. It's waiting for you. But at each one of those stops, David found out something, and he moved on from there. And Saul chased him all the time, you know. Believe me, the enemy's going to be at your door, no matter what you're believing or what you're not believing or what you're claiming. They're going to be at your door. Okay? I'm through. I've enjoyed y'all. And I just pray right now, Father God, in Jesus' name, Father. Father, would you send the Holy Spirit and seal this word in our heart, Father? If I spoke one word that was not true and not from you, Father God, I pray that you strike that from our understanding right now, Father God. Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you for grace and mercy. I thank you for being long-suffering and patient with each one of us, Father God. But Father, most of all, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit meet us where we are and minister to us, Father. Father, to the north, south, and east and west of this campground, Father God, I pray for thy glory cloud to begin to gather over this place, Father. And Father, it doesn't matter, Father God, and Glenn will agree with me, it doesn't matter what Glenn and Irma started, Father God, because you're going to finish it. And Father, I pray that you give them the rest to just lean back, Father, and watch you work in this day to come, Father God. And Father, I ask for anointing dip on each one here, Father. Father, I pray that each mate that's here without their mate, Father God, that supernaturally, Father God, this message will go to them, Father God, and they'll have understanding, that the household will not be out of order. In Jesus' name, Father. Father, just like Blanche has already spoken, Father God, teach us to see ourselves the way you see us, all the impurities and all the good things too, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, I ask for a good night's rest for each one of us. And I ask for your Spirit to dwell in us, and that we be made in the image of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
You're dismissed. See you in the morning for prayer meeting.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.